talk about this proposal. I don't know if you had a chance to read what I've written. I've been sort of busy with other things. So I don't have too much time to do this. But I think I managed to incorporate most of the feedback you guys had last time in the first section. But if you have anything that you thought of when you read it, please let me know. And what we should do today probably is to talk about the specific sections and the research challenges, and maybe we can also, you know, I know Giri is still looking for some concrete direction, right? And maybe we could talk about that a little bit. So Giri, have you had a chance to look at this or not really?
Yeah, the comment I had was that the preliminary work, you may want to highlight it even more. I think the punchlines are probably really important.
Mm-hmm.
That contention causes wastage. Maybe in really simple terms. And then say, well, causes wastage in maybe multi-core processor and virtualizing mines.
Yeah, contention, I think perhaps the part...
And then say that this is not well understood.
Yeah.
That the focus of the study is its impact on
I agree that maybe it could be stressed better. And I also, when I was reading this, I realized there's parts of it that where I ramble too much, so need to be made much tighter.
I think you need those crisp sentences that say this is the focus, right? Ultimately, we want to focus on wastage and how to handle it and what is its impact on a bunch of other things. Because you are essentially building all of this on the basis of that statement, really.
Yeah. And in terms of the, I also spelled out our case studies a little bit more, made that more concrete. So right now we have five case studies, and we can talk about that a bit more later. But I wanted to just go through each of these different components. There are five components to the proposal, and I think as we discuss this, maybe we'll get some ideas as to where specific research questions fit in. I know Ming, you sent me two research questions.
That's true.
And we could revisit those. I'm trying to remember what those were, but I think at least one of them fits in the holistic cache hierarchy management.
Both of them.
Okay. So let's go through this a little bit slowly. Okay, the foundations component is mostly about developing a comprehensive theory on about cache requirements and for any cache replacement algorithm, and also in part developing new cache replacement algorithms. So maybe we should highlight that better. I do say it in one sentence here, that are targeted to minimizing wastage. So there might be a question there for you, Giri, but I don't know what that question, you know, how you might want to phrase that question. Or what sort of direction should we be exploring? Maybe we could talk about that later. You can come back and talk about that. The next component is managing of non-partitionable caches. And there, I think what we are saying is that there are people who are already done work in the architecture community, but what this proposal is providing is techniques for mapping workloads to caches to minimize wastage, and also, you know, doing this both in the static version. So let's say in one of the case studies, this is highlighted better. So I say something like workloads with stationary cache utilizations. So cache utilization that doesn't change over time, right? So if you have such workloads, how do you map those to caches? so that wastage is minimized. And then also in the dynamic case, we want to monitor cache utilization and report back on whether the cache resources are sufficient to accommodate all the working sets and the wastage. Right. So the way I want to sort of structure this component is one piece of the holistic management which does some sort of reporting of what is the state of a cache. And then the holistic management needs to not just look at individual reports, but maybe several reports to figure out what exactly is going on.
It's like a dashboard.
Yeah, exactly. I think we can present it much better than I write it here, but that's sort of the high-level idea. And I had something here, I was thinking about this yesterday, is to say, okay, we're looking at individual workloads, but should, you know, does it make sense to look at groups of workloads? For instance, in the VM case, there may be several VMs that are related, and you might want to group them and provide some sort of guarantees at a group level as opposed to a single workload level. I just put that in, and maybe we'll take it out later, but I just wanted to have that so you guys can think about it and tell me what you come up with. I mean, does it make sense? Or I know, for instance, that the VMware guys have now this new ability to have SLA for groups of VMs. I don't know if you heard about that.
Do they have a paper?
They have a paper recently in USENIX Annual Tech.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think HP cache things. I think it's something like that.
Right.
They have a multi-tier application.
Right, exactly. So I don't know what it means for non-partitionable caches. I mean, what sort of questions become interesting? And because now we want to control the impact on a group of workloads as opposed to a single one. The next component is the managing of partitionable.
How do you define base sets? Where do you define base sets?
Here, for instance, the first time wastage is spelled out. That's in this third paragraph or some. I think it's in the third paragraph.
That's it at the end of the third paragraph, which is there anywhere before that? Or?
No, there is no formal definition.
You may want to say something.
Yeah.
Because this stage is not clear.
Yeah. I sort of use it in a sentence,
right.
In its English meaning, using its English meaning, but that's probably not enough. Okay, I'll fix that. Okay, so the third component is managing partitionable caches. And the new part here is something that I call soft partitions, along the lines of what you were talking about. And so that the workloads are all not strictly partitioned. And the motivation behind that is that, you know, if you have transitory workload shifts, then if you have something that a work-conserving component in the cache might be better able to adapt to something like that, so not to cause underutilization. But it needs to be quantified. It's very fuzzy right now. The descriptions are not well developed. So I was kind of thinking that maybe Mink, you could look into this a little bit more and what. Because I think it's a neat idea. I feel like we should probably explore this better, but I really don't know, or rather have the time to explore it further. So maybe you can look into this. And also I'm saying that for the main memory and external caches, since these are storage caches, we will develop mechanisms to provide latency and IOPS control, right, for storage access based on cache sizing, dynamic cache sizing. Right. So So we've already done some of that work. So we would just probably reuse quite a bit of that and present that as material for this proposal. It's not published, so it's, we are fine with that. Of course, the primary thing here is that we also want to talk about how the convex hull approaches don't really work for external caches, and how do we deal with that for partitionable caches. So there are several components in here that and of which the soft partitions might be something that you could contribute. Okay, so the next component is the holistic cache hierarchy management. And that has this idea of developing an end-to-end solution for providing certain guarantees in terms of performance. And the specific mechanisms that we're going to use are monitoring. So these individual components are going to send periodic information to this management component, and then based on whether QoS goals are being violated, this component will look at all the monitoring information and perform cache level single pointing to say, okay, this is the cache level that is the likely bottleneck, and then do remediation as well. Right. So there are lots of details there that still need to be chalked out. But there are a few ideas with respect to what we could do with remediation. For instance, the obvious ones are cache repartitioning, right? And then we could do, you know, migrate workloads to other cores or even off the host. And I also say that you could provide feedback to the CPU allocation mechanism so that contention can be controlled more directly, mm-hmm. Right? So those are the four main research components, and then there is a case studies component. The case studies component is a little bit better sketched out now. I think there are five case studies. The first is synthetic workloads with stationary cache utilizations and core mapping for those workloads. Right. So we generate a bunch of synthetic workloads and go through this mapping and figure out if that's the best approach using brute force, exhaustive search, and contrast that with what we come up with. And second is to do...
also, I mean, assuming that you know into the future, if you want to. So you're looking at an idealized solution. Right?
This is a very simple task because it's a stationary workload.
Right.
It's not dynamically changing.
Mm. So I'm not sure how important that is.
That case study?
Yeah. Maybe in the end, if you run out of space and doesn't count.
Possibly.
Yeah. This kind of oversimplified.
It is very oversimplified, but I think I wanted to sort of isolate each of the contributions a little bit.
Mm.
And this contribution is about just how do you use reuse rates and flood rates to minimize wastage,
okay,
and do that mapping,
okay,
right? It's sort of a one iteration of a dynamic loop.
Right, exactly.
And is that one iteration, does that make sense or not? Right. So that's why I put that in there. But you're right, I mean, it's sort of oversimplified. Second is to implement cache level finger pointing for non-partitionable caches. Right. And by varying, again, synthetic workloads, but non-stationary. So as behavior changes, if the working set changes, then and based on some monitoring parameters, we should be able to say that, you know, there is some problem with a certain cache level, right? So this is making sure that the finger pointing that we are doing makes sense and is accurate. The third case study is about DRAM or main memory buffer cache or file system cache partitioning. And this is just a simple goal of maximizing cache hit ratio. So no QoS, nothing. Just minimize wastage, find the minimum point in the cumulative cache MRC, and that's what our partitions will look like. The fourth case study is virtual disk SSD cache partitioning using KVM, right? So multiple VMs running, and the goal here are very different, which are specific QoS controls like latency and IOPS controls, as well as cache hit rate maximization. And then the final thing is the holistic cache hierarchy management for cloud resource management case study. So there we would use several web service benchmarks with SLAs, and the goal is to maximize the total revenue. So along the lines that Sajib is doing, right, but with a very different approach. It's just focusing on caches. So those are the five case studies that I've laid out. If you see a sixth one, or if you think we can alter one of these to make them more interesting, then certainly we should do that. Or replace one of these with something else. Is there any piece that you feel is missing? For instance, the foundational aspects, do you think there is more?
For instance, there are general classes of workloads, right? I don't think those have been reflected here in the case studies, or maybe for you it's almost a part of anything that you look at, I'm not sure. For instance, even in this first problem where you look at stationary cache, if you have different workloads, may have very different behavior.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And different. I don't know if you want that to be part of your case study or not.
It is part of the case study. So when I say here arbitrary
it's
synthetic workloads, yeah, it's implicitly there. So all of these workloads could be very different, but each workload is stationary in terms of its cache utilization. But across workloads, they could have very different.
So since you think of first one as being somewhat simplistic, you may want to say for different workloads or something like this.
Right, yeah, I think that can be clarified better to say, okay, these workloads could be very different, but each of them is stationary.
For different stationary workloads.
Yeah, I think the prose needs to be tightened much more than what it is right now, but I'm hoping that we'll have time later on to do it. I like to do prose revisions in an online fashion. So each time I read it, I say, oh, wow, this is terribly written, and I go fix it, and then it gets a little better, and that's how it works. Okay, so that's what I have so far. My next task is to actually start filling out some of the individual sections. So which ones do you think we should start with? Where are the biggest gaps that we might need more time to talk about? And so I won't get into those right now. And moreover, I think it would also be nice, for instance, to discuss the questions you have, Ming, and maybe come up with some questions for Giri. So what were the questions you had in your...
Two questions. One is how to detect performance bottleneck. Understand which layer is the bottleneck.
Okay.
Yeah. The second question.
So that's what I call as the cache level finger pointing.
Yes.
Okay.
It's not just finger point out the layer. Yeah. Layer is bottleneck. Yeah. And the second question is based on if we know which layer is bottleneck, then how do we use migration to eliminate or minimize the cache intention.
So I'm sort of describing the response in this using this term called remediation, and that has several aspects.
Yes.
Okay, so I just want to see whether you want to talk about all of them or some of them. For instance, one of them is cache repartitioning.
Mm-hmm.
It's also a remediation technique. It may or may not be enough. The second is migrating workloads across cores on the same host or even off the host. You know, that requires some sort of an admission control mechanism. And the third one is not actually a remediation technique. It's more of a hint to the CPU allocation mechanism.
Yeah. I'm not sure the repetitioning been also the
remediation.
Yeah, that's the basic. Repetitioning is based on the understanding of the working site or the effective use of the site, and you do repetition based on that.
The reason I feel that should be in a holistic, that should be viewed holistically is because it could be two cache levels that are doing repartitioning and messing each other up. Right, and that's
but the repetition is gonna only, you're gonna only talk about that in for the partitionable cache, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So for instance, the main memory is repartitionable, SSD is also repartitionable.
Yeah.
I just want to have something that is orchestrated, then, and that may be wrong. I mean, it may be that if there is a sort of autonomic loop within each cache level that does repartitioning, there is, you know, the system balances out naturally. But I could also see that the repartitioning at one level could cause, and simultaneously going on at a different level could cause instability, and so repartitioning may go on for a very long time.
Mm.
That's my concern, because once you start doing repartitioning at one level, the reuse rates and flooding rates at the next level are going to change.
Right.
And that's the real issue here.
Mm. Yeah.
What we do need is a repartitioning mechanism at each level.
Mm.
But the actual directive or where the that's coming from, it would be from this holistic layer.
Yeah, that's a different question. Yeah, from the question that I had before.
So yours, I think, fits into, for instance, you know, how do you do workload migration? But maybe I'm wondering if you can sort of expand on it and take the whole remediation question and at the next level of abstraction, and then say, okay, what sort of remediation? And what sort of remediation, how do we break it down further, right? Does repartitioning work, or do we need to do migration?
Mm.
And that sort of question, those sorts of questions. Maybe you can think about that a little more,
and we
can brainstorm and come up with some
questions
that are maybe more aligned with the rest of the language in the proposal.
That's right, yeah. If you can talk about the other consensus, you can talk about the interactions across the layers.
Hmm.
This is really well done, that, right? And we have to go back to that too.
Thrashing across layers.
It's interactions across the layers. Right?
Interaction.
Yeah.
Interaction.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, interaction certainly, I think, Giri, you had some interest in that, right?
Yes, very much so. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what will happen in practice is, okay, if we repartition or make some change at some level of cache, and typical change would be a repartitioning. Repartitioning would affect the usage of the next.
Incremental change.
Right.
One of the workloads gets one unit less and one unit more.
Hmm.
The other gets one unit. So what is its impact on the layer above and on the layer below? These are the things to really study. So you kind of look at incremental changes. And once that's well understood, then you can use that as a knob for whatever it is you want to do as well.
Yeah. So in, I think I understand what you were talking about 2 weeks ago a little better now. So I think what you said was, if you change something in at a certain cache level, let's say reduce the size of the partition, then that would increase maybe the reuse rate at the next level.
Right.
Because some of the elements that were in the previous level would no longer be there, but they would be in the next level.
Correct.
And then you would start reusing them a lot more.
Correct.
And that reuse rate might evict or might
that
flood.
That would trigger some changes there. That would trigger some changes below 2, in fact. It's not
probably not. I don't think it's... I think that it just flows in one direction, the way I'm visualizing it. I may be wrong. But I think that any level of the cache you make changes in only affects the level that is slower and has a bigger working set.
Yeah, but you could go from 1 to 0, so it's not that it won't have any effect.
Because if there was something in a faster cache level, it won't be accessed at the next level at all anyway.
I thought when it's at some level, it's at every level above it, isn't it?
That's typically the case, but I think if you change something at a certain level, it would only impact the level, let's say, slower than it. It won't affect the level faster than it.
When you remove it, something has to happen.
No, it might
when you add, yes, you may be right, but when you remove,
so let's say that
the same is true.
So here, this is what you mean, you replace.
Yeah, but something will get deleted, right?
So let's look at this level hierarchy, right?
Yeah.
And we have a certain
you're making
size,
change in the middle
certain right? number of elements.
Right.
So let me call this reuse rate of 0, reuse rate of 1. These are reuse rates of the working set, right, at this level and at this level. And it's just, by the way, this is a significant simplification because when I say flood, there is actually two parameters here. One, flooding of K because of B and so on.
Yes.
But let's say that I'm just making this simple.
One parameter. Yeah, okay, that's fine.
Right. So if let's look at the level
and just imagine that there are only two workloads because that's just the easy way to think about
it. Yeah, two workloads, right? So partition.
And you partition them at a certain place.
And then let's say I'm going to move this partition over here.
Correct. No.
So it means these guys
make a unit change.
Yeah, make a unit change. The reuse rate here is going to change. It's going to go down, right? Because so let's say the cache partition size reduced for 1.
Yes.
Right.
So the reuse rate goes down.
Reuse rate goes down,
and
the flood rate
goes
down as well. Possibly. I mean, this is the reuse rate would certainly go down. The flood rate.
So flood rate is the effect of this guy on the
one
other
on
guy.
1 on 2. Yeah.
Okay.
Would probably also go down.
Yes.
Right. Now here the reuse rate would actually go up and the flood rate would go up, right? Because whatever is not being reused here will start getting reused at this level now. Because earlier it was, so the axes are going in this direction and then this is the CPU, right? If it's a miss here and a hit here, the axis stops at that point. This level doesn't see it. But if this is a miss,
reuse goes down, you have to reuse at the higher level.
Yes.
So that guy's reuse will go up, you're saying.
Yeah, reuse here goes down, reuse there goes up.
I see.
Similarly,
so if it's hit here, you won't even have an access, so there's no question of its effect on reuse or flood.
Correct. And I'm just thinking that the reuse rate here, does it change or not? It does. It does because of a completely different reason, I think. Because the rate
because
here,
you might flood the other guy.
The reason that I have in mind is if you start missing at that level,
yes,
the something called the CPI will go down. Okay, the cycles per instruction, or actually go up. Right? The cycles per instruction, because every instruction now becomes, on an average, it becomes slower because earlier I was getting hits at this level, which I no longer am, certain hits. So my cycles per instruction or the amount of time I spend per instruction will go up. Because my amount of time per instruction goes up, the rate at which caches get access themselves goes down. Right. So this would go down, actually. This is sort of a secondary effect. I think we can ignore this completely.
If there's a miss at level 1 and if there's a hit at level 2 at the middle level, then because there was a miss here, you're going to bring something in there, right? And that could flood the other guy.
No, but exactly.
So it's a little more complex.
You're saying the flooding might go up here?
No, flooding at the lower level now.
No,
here? Yes, because you're now going to bring in something that may not get reused.
Here?
Yes. Because eventually you have to bring it at every level, right?
Yes. Yes, you do need to bring it at every level, but, I mean, this guy's...
So there was a miss from The given level numbers are 0, 1, and 2, right?
Yeah, 0, 1,
2. So there was a miss at level 0.
Hmm. And it was a hit earlier.
It was a hit at level 1.
Yes.
Oh, earlier. What's earlier?
It was, so because before the partitioning, repartitioning.
Yeah, right.
Before the repartitioning, there was, it was a hit at this point. Even if it's a hit, it will still be brought here.
Right, that's what I'm saying. When you bring it there, you might be either doing a reuse or a flush.
But that's all factored in here.
Yeah, but that it's going to change because they're not the same. It's not the same. But
the element that is missing here, whether it's accessed here or here, it doesn't matter. It will be brought in here. It will be brought in here and then brought in here.
You're saying that's sort of factored into that computation of R0 and X0?
Yeah, because this is. Exactly. So these are elements that are accessed just once. For instance, stuff that miss here.
Okay.
And flood the other.
Yeah, so it depends on how that's defined. Yeah. All right, fine. Then I'll take that. And
so I think these two rates go down at the level where we are reducing the cache size, and but they go up at the next level. So it could be that, which is why I was telling you, Ming, earlier, that if you repartition this and this at the same time, you might see things go dynamically
yes.
changing all the time.
Yes. Mm. Yeah. So to the user question I asked, I intentionally focused only on single layer because I didn't know how to address interactions, whether we should address it or not. Okay. It would be nice to have a theoretic foundation.
No, it needs to be done in some incremental fashion. You have to understand what an incremental change does.
Right.
After that, you could try all sorts of other things.
Right. So for instance, to answer that question, perhaps it would make sense for us to, and this is something we can discuss, it makes sense for us to actually change the lowest level first. Because let's say one of these workloads actually increased in their working set size. There is problems at this level, which overflows into problems at this level, and so on. Fix the problems at this level, maybe the problems at the subsequent levels go away.
Well, but right. Then, I mean, if you're going to say that both reuse and flood go up, then there's both good, the good cholesterol and bad cholesterol both are going up, so it's not necessarily good for you. Right? I mean, in some sense, the R and the F, one is good and one is bad, right? You want R to be high and F to be low.
Yeah. I'm not sure what the flood is. Sorry, this may actually, I don't know about this. It's a question mark.
Mm-hmm.
I just put it there because it seems
symmetric. I'm surprised that in that whatever analysis you did, all three kind of went up or down together. I sort of expected the other way around.
Oh, I see.
Mm. So I was saying that if you can come up with a good
yeah.
theory of this.
Yeah, I think this is
this is something that would interest me.
This
is exactly.
We can talk about how to
do
it holistic. I didn't mean to keep the bottle.
This was something that I was seeing even on the first day, and I thought this to be extremely interesting. Because I don't have to worry about the tree. I don't have to worry about holistic picture. All I'm doing is localizing the question, and then this is completely handleable. Otherwise, it's just a
I haven't thought about this theory, but I would say that, first of all...
This I can write about if you want. I don't know how much detail you want at this stage, but this is something that I can try to formalize in some way.
This is sort of, I think, central to the holistic management.
I agree.
Yes, without understanding
agree.
This correctly, I mean, whatever you do with holistic management is a heuristic.
That's why, for me, holistic management can be done if we can handle it at a local level. That's fine.
The foundations, right? The foundations and this, all of these components.
Yeah.
And this aspect is a foundational component for the holistic management.
And we could actually say there in the holistic that if we can address this question and find practical ways to deal with it, then we would be essentially
right.
be able to generalize it to any number of levels.
Right. I think we might have to go a step beyond that than to just lay out the problem, also provide some hints of a solution. I think I've seen that in most of the proposals I've read, especially, most of the successful ones. because I think what the reviewers are looking for is not just the statements of the problem. In this case, the statement is very interesting, but they will probably be looking for something like, okay, what are your initial thoughts on where we are going with the solution,
yeah.
Right? I think that requires more thought.
And also we have to look at the impact on wastage. So whatever definition of wastage we want to work with, and even that part is not clear. So for me, that also is part of the foundations. What, how do we define wastage?
Yeah, that's true.
And the other question is this statistical hierarchy. So page cache, you know, so storage is the backing store of page cache, right? But page cache is not only the, it's not the only backing store of CPU cache. So are you gonna focus on only page cache or no question?
Because I talk about it in the case study.
Because we know that because in CPU cache it has instructions, data,
yes.
And the data from the I/O. So if you look at the hierarchy, then so then we are only focusing on the data.
So you're talking about virtual memory as well. So
yes.
How like per workload, virtual memory and file system page cache.
So
I think we need to look at both.
Okay.
And the page cache is just a case study, right?
Okay.
The case study is just looking at some concrete problems that are pieces of what we are contributing here, that are going to use some pieces of what we are contributing.
So for virtual memory, if you consider swap, then you still have a hierarchy, I guess.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. So then. Okay.
And the swap would probably be on the external SSD cache.
Okay.
Yeah, I think. I mean, having components like this in the proposal makes it more interesting and makes it more real. So if we can have a solid question around this, or maybe two questions.
For me, the basic question is an incremental change. What is its effect on the neighboring levels?
Hmm.
That's how I'm going to say.
In terms of flood rate and
in
reuse rate,
of
because now we have
parameters that are of interest.
Yeah.
In this case, the specific things of interest are whatever impacts the stage and contention.
Correct.
And clearly, as you change something, it's going to change the interaction, and therefore the contention, and therefore the wastage, and all the other associated factors.
Yeah, the CPI effect is a secondary effect, which I would say we should ignore for now.
CPI is mentioned in Ricardo's paper somewhere, right, or somewhere in
No, we don't talk about that at all, because
CPI
is cycles per instruction. And that's sort of an indirect effect, because it's a feedback.
Yeah.
Meaning how much water you're treading versus how much real progress you're making, or what?
Right. So CPI is, so every instruction could require an arbitrary number of clock cycles. Because you might miss in the register cache, you might miss in the level 1 cache, and so on. So if your CPI starts going up, which means every instruction is getting more and more expensive, that means your rates are going to change as well. Although you have the exact same working set at a certain level, it will affect. So for instance, in this case, because there are more misses here, the rates here are going to change. Just because the CPI is changing. But I think we can just mention that effect.
Specifications in order to do at least some reasonable analysis.
Yeah, but that makes the problem, I mean, if we bring in that previous level, it makes it much more challenging to analyze.
We could say, we can assume there's enough instruction level parallelism. A miss can be, so the processor can do a lot of other execution to take advantage of the amount.
Right.
Yeah, if we need to address somehow.
Meaning it doesn't mean the CPU is idle, that's what you're saying?
That means the CPU will not be idle, so the processor can find the instructions
something else to
in future to work on that. So then we only focus on, you know, thread level parallelism in a sense, right? Thread level parallelism in this proposal.
It's a little bit tricky,
because
what we are saying is that repartitioning, although it would change the reuse rate and flood rate, will not change CPI.
No. So CPI might go down
because what
actual instruction may take quite a while.
No, I think that's what.
On to something else.
Yeah, what I meant is that the processor, they can do out of order execution. They don't, they don't have to always actually instructions sequentially. So if one instruction is it causes a miss, that instruction is stored, and if there's enough instruction level parallelism, then the processor can issue the instructions that in future.
From the same
thread.
Yes.
That's a really tall claim, but maybe maybe it's reasonable.
Yeah.
No, we need to think more about
it. Goes through a different process, and that's also
this process will be
then. This process
down.
Will have a
yeah.
higher CPI.
Yeah, this process will slow down.
And that would affect its that would affect its reuse rate
at this level. When I mean, if you just think very without care, then you might see, well, the change here should affect only this level, right, which is what I told you earlier. But this level does get affected because of the change in CPI,
which is a sort of a secondary effect. But I think it makes the problem much harder to analyze.
Yeah. So just think about that one direction. It sounds like a there may be, might be a hierarchical EISs.
Hierarchical?
EISs? EISs model.
Oh, ISS.
Yeah.
ERSS model?
Yes.
Yeah, in the ERSS model is hierarchical.
Yeah.
But that's the EISs tree, right? Talk about the tree?
Yeah.
But the tree captures the changes of phase. No.
It also captures
layers.
Working sets at different granularities.
Okay. All right.
So within one working set, So, but Giri, I think maybe you got a little bit more fodder today.
Yeah.
To write something up. You already written some stuff up. Maybe you can revise that.
Yeah.
And but put it more in the form of like a research question, and initial or description, and then some initial thoughts on solution.
Okay.
And in the meanwhile, I'll come up with my own set of research questions and share it with you guys to get your feedback, maybe so that we don't have any overlaps. And then next step would be start populating each of these sections with the research questions. You know? Okay, so should we meet next week? Our original time is 2 p.m. Does this time work better for you?
This time does. It really doesn't matter. Tuesdays are.
But
I can come there from there to here at some point. So 4 is of course better because then I can go home from here.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fine. I think if Ming is open, I'm ready to.
Yeah.
Then we could move shift to this.
Yeah.
Time 4 p.m.
But we should probably target more work. So you would like some chunk of writing so that we could.
Yeah, I mean, it is. Yeah, exactly. I mean, what I would want is to, you know, based on our discussion today, is to just have the research questions drafted and the initial paragraph drafted so that we can use that as a brainstorming starting point, right? So once we have those sketched out, then it'll be much easier to write, you know, the rest of the section around those research questions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, I guess my challenge is because the holistic is the last section. It depends on all the previous sections.
But I think there is a lot of description here in the. My goal with writing the project overview, which we might eventually cut down a little bit, is to make sure that all the thoughts are there in each of those sections.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they may not. For instance, if you don't understand a sentence, or you might say, okay, can you, Raju, expand on what you're thinking when you write this? I could do it for you.
Okay.
And then we could figure out maybe if that's the right direction or not,
okay.
Right?
Yeah.
But I wanted to get all the, at least sort of nuggets of ideas in this first section,
mm-hmm.
so that you can, you know, even think about component 4 without fully having component 1. All right. So we're going off to Ming's presentation.
Okay.
Mario's presentation. Yes.
So over here.